On the docket is Andrew Roland Holloway versus City of Chesapeake. Mr. Jones. And I believe Mr. Fellers is here.
Yes, ma'am, Your Honor.
Mr. Fellers, you understand that since you didn't file a brief, you won't be permitted to argue.
Okay.
So we're happy to have you here, but the rules of the court are that if you don't submit a brief, and we understand the odd circumstances surrounding the case, but
yes, Your Honor.
We didn't want you to feel left out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome to sit at counsel table while he argues. Okay, Mr. Jones, you're on. You have 15 minutes. Do you want to reserve any time? Well, there's no rebuttal. So just carry on, sir.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the court and counsel, my name is Colston Jones. I'm from the Office of the Public Defender in Chesapeake, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Holloway. And, Your Honor, the appellant takes the position, really, that this case is controlled by Amin versus County of Henrico, which was reported at 63 Virginia Appellate 203 from 2014,
which is... Let me pose this question. In light of the trial court's amended order,
yes, Your Honor,
where does that leave your argument?
Well, compromise somewhat, Your Honor, but my position, Your Honor, is that the motion was to set aside was still denied, and really what the court has done by amending the order is really amend the summons after the time has passed to do so, and there was never any motion made to amend the summons. The court has sort of purported to convict Mr. Holloway of a violation of the state code.
Whatever happened in the trial court, has now determined that it meant to amend that and charge violation of the state statute. Now, that was a non-proton order entered by the court, and that's the final order that we are now considering.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, again, Your Honor, our position would be that is really essentially, Your Honor, after a finding of guilt and a verdict being returned, an impermissible amendment of the summons with which Mr. Holloway was charged. On the face of the summons, it does cite 74-4, which is a reference to the city code. So, you know, to rule that the summons in fact charged him with a violation of the state code would really render that surplusage. And
is there anything in the written statement of facts that indicates that the trial court did not intend to convict him of the state statute? That this was not a clerical error, but was rather a substantive amendment or substantive change to the final order?
Just in the statement of facts, Your Honor, I'll direct the court to the citation in the joint appendix. It's at pages 11 through 12 of the joint appendix. The court really just made an oral statement that because the summons included 18-2-103, that really was permissible, and that was a basis to deny the motion to set aside the verdict that was made at trial. So I think that is my best answer to the court's question.
So we don't have a transcript of actually what was said. We're relying on this written statement. How do we determine from that written statement of fact that the trial court's non-proton order was, in effect, a change to the order rather than a mere correction of a clerical error?
Well, my response to that, Your Honor, would just be that the motion was made in the trial court at the date of trial to set aside the conviction because it was an invalid summons charging him with really a provision of the city vehicle code that purported to incorporate the state criminal code. So I think at that time a verdict had been returned, a finding of guilt on the offense of petty larceny. I don't think the court had specifically indicated under which code section it was considering the evidence to have been presented, but the court denied the motion on the basis that the face of the summons included the citation to the state code 18-2-103.
I think your argument is well taken if he'd been convicted of violation of the Chesapeake Ordinance.
And
that's where I'm having problems, is reaching the point where I can conclude that was the charge on the warrant for which he was tried and convicted.
Well, I guess my best response to that, Your Honor, is that the uniform summons is included in the joint appendix, and that can be found, Your Honor, at at page 1 of the joint appendix. And looking at it, it has 74-4 in parenthesis. So to my mind, there would be no reason for that to be included other than to conclude that Mr. Holloway was charged under the city code. And that would be my response to the question. Thank you, Your Honor. And that's really the sum of my argument, unless there are further questions.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much. I once worked for a judge in the old Norfolk Courthouse who advised that brevity was the soul of persuasion.
And
I hope he's right.
And we appreciate it, absolutely.
Thank you, Your Honor.